That Great Business Show, Ireland's best business podcast.
Welcome to episode 122 of That Great Business Show, posting on the 13th of January, 2023. I am Conall O'Moran. Coming up, we'll be talking pensions, but don't dare switch off, because this is That Great Business Show, where we do things very differently, and I promise that we have found something really different for you about pensions that can give you a pension for maybe half the cost. And if you own, want to own, or want to sell a property, do stay listening, because a business close to our hearts is about to do some disruption. But first, another reminder that if you're not happy facing into this new year with your struggling business, do listen back to Antoine Xavier on episode 119. He came to Ireland with absolutely nothing. A 19-year-old with no training, but went on to build one of the country's biggest accountancy practices. We have had a lot of feedback from listeners who found his words of wisdom so encouraging, helping business owners keep going. And he shares the secrets of growing your business on episode 119.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Mercedes-Benz, Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundeal. Are you looking for a seven-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
De Facto Shaving Oil, the world's best shaving oil. Made in Mayo, sold worldwide.
Want to increase sales, reduce overheads, and provide customers with a better service? Then use Big Red Web, the easiest way to develop and maintain your website. It gives you powerful business reporting, digital marketing, and automatically integrates with the award-winning Big Red Cloud Accounting software. It's a game changer for SME businesses. It's so good, the government gives you a €2,500 grant towards it. Big Red Web, e-commerce made simple. BigRedCloud.com/web.
All That Great Business Show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
And so, to the first interview. Let's start with the facts. According to the latest census, there are over 2.1 million homes in the state. And from 2016 to 2022, we added another 120,000 homes to the national stock. And we've probably added another 30,000 homes in the last year. So, that is the total addressable market for the online business, daft.ie, part of Distilled Media, our shiny new sponsor. Anyone who has ever bought, sold, or dreamt of owning a home is already familiar with daft.ie, but what you won't know, because they haven't told anyone yet, is what they'll be doing in the future to make the buying and selling of property easier. But who better to ask about all of the above but Adam Ferguson, Chief Commercial Officer with Distilled Media, as I say, the company that owns daft.ie. Adam, welcome to That Great Business Show.
Thanks for such a great intro, Conall.
The first thing I have to know is you have a kind of a bit of a techie background. However, I looked you up. What you studied was ag science. How did you go from ag science to trying to sell houses on the internet?
Okay, I'll try and do the summary as quick as I can. It was a question I wasn't expecting. Fair play for looking me up with such detail. I studied ag science in UCD for 2 years before going to America on a J1 and becoming a working in the construction industry, we'll say. Long story short, I travelled to New Zealand, spent 2.5 years in the States, went to New Zealand for a while, Southeast Asia, came back, set up a construction company in West Cork, where I'm from. Worked in construction, built that up into a successful business, 5-6 employees. And a host of subcontractors before the property crash in 2008, at which point we decided that continuing with that business wasn't going to be fruitful. And luckily I got involved in classifieds and technology and got involved in digital marketing at a time when, you know, for every one expert that was needed in SEO or AdWords, there was 10 6 months later. And I happened to be in the right place at the right time, developed some skills and capitalised and utilised those to work in technology.
So one pivot, two pivots, three pivots, four. How many more? Because you are now, as I said, Chief Commercial Officer with Distilled. And Distilled, let's talk about them, is a very, very big and successful company.
Yeah, so Distilled is made up of Daft, Dundeal and Adverts, and now Gumtree as well. We are a group of classifieds business. Our mission is to connect businesses and people and people to people to make better buying and selling for everyone in Ireland. So what we do and what makes us tick is getting up in the morning to make transactions in rental property, cars, farming, generalist classifieds easier for everybody in Ireland.
Which easily brings me into my first obvious question, because you just told me that everybody asks you this one anyway, is it is an advertising platform. When will you become an estate agent?
If I had a euro for every time I was asked that, I'd have 5,000 euros, because there's roughly 5,000 people who work in real estate professional roles similar to estate agents via 1,400 offices in Ireland. The answer is we're not ever going to become an estate agent.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. And the reason for that is that's not who we are. We don't show property. We don't drive about the country with sets of keys to show property. We don't necessarily market property. We don't assess valuations of property, at least in person, accurately. What we do is develop tools for estate agents and for vendors or for people who are looking to rent a property to make things easier, but in the online space. If we can't do it from behind a computer, we're not going to do it. That's not who we are. That's not our DNA. That's certainly not our founder's DNA, Brian and Eamon Fallon. And for that reason, we're never going to become an estate agent.
I had them on the business show when I was with Today FM. Very nice fellas.
Yeah. Great fellas. I'm very fortunate to work in such a great culture that is Distilled, driven
now,
by them.
Are you, when I say you, is Daft estate agent driven only, or could Conall O'Moran go down and put his home and sell it directly through Daft?
I'll link that answer to the vision. So our outcome we want to derive is better buying and selling for everyone. And if you want to do that, you need all of the stock available. So as such, as a private sales, it's not something I'd advise. I think using an estate agent is a very good way to sell a house. But if you want to place an ad privately on Daft, absolutely, we allow anyone to place a sale ad on Daft.
With pictures and videos.
With pictures,
and the whole
videos,
shebang, yeah.
Everything you want. You can buy a featured ad, you can buy one of the Advantage ads,
featured premium. Do you have much of that business?
Very little. There's very few people privately sell their house. There's large amounts of people who let houses privately, but very few people sell houses privately.
Why?
I think the value of an estate agent is it's a mission. So, you know, dealing with the solicitor, it's enough of a mission as it is, right? So,
you've said enough. Dealing with the solicitor, full stop.
It's a very big, it's a big task. Why wouldn't you hire a professional to help you resolve that big task? You have enough to do with moving house, etc. I think that's why it's done. Estate agents advertising Daft for very low cost relative to what we would charge a private user, because estate agents are our most important customers, and I don't see why practically essentially makes sense to users, and that's why they don't, or to vendors.
Now, you're alone with me here, so nobody's listening. Tell me, what do estate agents, in your view, do wrong when they're using Daft? So what are the little tricks that people should look at and look out for and use themselves?
So we have two products that really help vendors. The first is Advantage Ads. So what we're aiming to do and how we're looking to grow the business is to give vendors the opportunity to promote their houses or properties ahead of other properties. So what we call Advantage ad. So you can buy a featured Advantage ad that's larger, sits on top of the listings, or you can buy a premium, or you can buy a standard ad. All too often, these options aren't presented to potential vendors. And options like, you know, print advertising, where, you know, our audience has grown by, you know, it's now 300 users a day, 300,000 users a day, who view spend 10 minutes on that.
Really?
Yeah. So it's one of the busiest websites in Ireland.
300,000. What are they doing?
And browsing property. I think Irish people may be addicted to it. There's extremely, like, 10 minutes each is 3 million minutes. So there's a huge amount of traffic on Daft. You know, options. I see advertising on the big print all the time. I see thousands spent on individual properties. And if I was, and you know, let's ignore the fact that obviously I have an agenda here, but I'm a digital marketer at heart. And if I was to promote a property, I'd utilize the busiest site, get the most prominence I can there. And I think for vendors, that's what estate agents need to offer. And that's what we're trying to enable. And we're very, very interested in helping vendors who want to make an investment in their advertising have that option. Like all digital advertising is sold. There's a bigger, better ad. Do you want to invest? At least we want vendors to have the option. And if I was a vendor, I would invest. The second thing on the product list is we've enabled a solution called Offers by Daft. For obvious reasons, it's not the other way around. We can't change where our brand started. And what Offers is, it's an efficiency tool for estate agents. So number one, you know, I think if we take a step back and to help the vendor, if it's a simpler process, it helps everybody. So I was bidding on a house a couple of years ago and, you know, there'd be back and forth missed calls. I played phone tennis with an estate agent all day and our office is in town and I'd be crossing to Lewis at Stephen's Green every day and I'd look at my phone and it's invariably I left the office at 5:30 and it's 5:35 and I pick up the phone to ring the estate agent having missed 3 calls knowing that another bid has been placed only to be frustrated by not being able to get the estate agent on the phone because it's outside of office hours and then I'm left in the dark for, you know, 12 or 14 hours until the next morning and I understand what happened. I don't understand why this isn't an online solution where, you know, I can register as bidder, place my bid, I'll see the other bids, and now bidding is 24/7. Everyone gets a communication, vendor gets full visibility, no one's relying on multiple calls from an estate agent. Estate agents are able to focus on what they do best, attracting leads and attracting offers for the property, and once someone's making offers, they know what they're doing. And Offers by Daft is a solution that every vendor should ask their estate agent for.
It's available?
It's available now.
Yep. How many people are using it? When I say that, how many
of the... There'll be about 100, 150 live ads at any one time against, you know, 3,000. So,
about
18,000 live sales ads.
And what is the... why are people not just jumping on that one? Because I can see exactly what you're trying to say.
So I think there's a couple of reasons. And, you know, like all problems, sometimes when you know, we're a development engine, we'll say. We try to understand the problem, we developed a solution, and then now we're at a phase of tweaking the solution to get improved product market fit. So the estate agents that use it absolutely love it. So, you know, we have an estate agent who has put 140 listings live over time. They've all sold fairly quickly. So there's been thousands of property through it, but at any one point there's about 100 live. So why hasn't there been greater adoption? Some estate agents feel that the privacy of the listing is important. They're afraid of lowball offers. Privacy of the asking price is important to the vendors. I don't see why. Everything gets published in the property price register anyway.
I was going to say, now the register has just opened all of that up. And I also still see, I don't know why I'm asking you this, but this is obviously a bugbear of mine, is price on application. I'm just thinking, what are you trying to do here? You're selling something. Tell me how much it is.
Yeah, so if you think the first, you know, when I was looking for a house, the first thing I asked the estate agent is when I called them, what is the present offer? Is there any?
Yeah.
If you made that information available, that's 24/7, that's way more useful to me. So I don't fully understand why everyone hasn't adopted it. I think they will. I think it's the future of the market. We are considering whether we want to, you know, allow the agent to put a setting that doesn't show the multiple offers, doesn't show the number of bidders, maybe only shows the most recent offer, maybe doesn't show the most recent offer at all and only shows it to the people who are bidding. So I apply, I want to make an offer. The estate agent approves me as a bidder and then I see the bidding. So we're working with estate agents to best understand how we can increase the adoption of this, because I think it's a no-brainer for the market, and I think it will improve it for the vendor, the buyer and the agent.
What other innovations are you looking at?
So we have a valuations engine utilising machine learning where you can go onto DAF now and get a real-time valuation for your property. It's not, you know, there's always edge cases. It's very difficult, you know, for three-bed semis in a location where there's a high volume of them, let's say Lucan, we'll be able to give a very accurate valuation. But we can't account for the condition of the property, etc. So we'd always recommend going to an estate agent. But it's a very interesting tool if you're trying to calculate, you know, considering making a move, you want to know how much your house is worth, how much equity you have. You can quickly calculate on DAFT. Then you can go and we have a buying budget solution via DAFT Mortgages. And you can go and build up your buying budget saying, this is my valuation, this is how much equity I have, this is how much cash I have. And you can work out based on present interest rates. We have a dynamic formula in the background that'll then tell you what you can afford. And then you can save that to your profile and then you can go and look for properties that suit your budget.
So you're not going to become an estate agent. Are you going to become a mortgage company?
So we're
this is
not,
another Euro a piece
yeah,
question.
So look, we have regulatory approval to be a mortgage broker. What we do at the moment is send qualified leads to mortgage broker partners. We think everybody should use a mortgage broker. I think in some cases it's not fully understood that the fee is effectively paid by the bank. And why wouldn't you get somebody who's paid by somebody else to help you? They don't get a better commission off one bank or another. There's a regulatory 1%, so everybody gets 1% no matter what happens. So I think, you know, it's better buying and selling. It's not necessarily about DAFT. It's about helping people to utilise mortgage brokers correctly. And maybe our purpose there is simply helping you calculate a budget and then introduce you to a broker who's going to do a good job for you. And that's what we're looking to do. So I don't think we're going to become a mortgages company per se. Could we continue to send leads? And will we build some tooling to help buyers? Yeah, we'll keep what we have. Will we build more? Maybe.
What's the future in terms of virtual reality and all that kind of stuff? Will I be sitting with a headset on the Lewis looking at properties and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so COVID put a big push on this, you know. So we looked at virtual tours. We enabled more virtual tour providers. So estate agents have fancy cameras and use multiple providers. Giraffe is an example of one, for example.
Do people actually use those? Has it been a good seller or not?
You know, during COVID, everybody thought it was what it was all going to be about. And, you know, I thought there may be more momentum and people may want more of a virtual experience. But at the end of the day, you need to go and see it. You're going to live there. You're going to have, you know, you need to look at the neighbours, you know. So it's difficult then. Pictures tell a lot. Photographs are a very effective way. Video is very effective. Some of the estate agents do brilliant videos. Some estate agents do brilliant short videos. And there's different formats working. And actually, my own sense is that the short video with the right editing and the right tooling, you know, people are using TikTok. Is an amazing solution to create the video, you know.
But to sell the house?
No, it's too short, isn't it? I don't think, you know, at least any sort of scale of searching is there. Let's say location is the biggest factor and size and budget. TikTok doesn't enable filters for size, budget and location. And that's, there's another world. You're not necessarily going to buy a house from TikTok, but there's cool video editing solutions that'll help people build a cool video that becomes viewable on a platform like DAFT. So I think short videos may become part of it, but it's not fundamentally going to change the purchase behavior. I think a lot of people are going to look at photos. Photos are very adequate, and then they're going to make a decision once they've viewed the property.
You have a limited market because you are just on the island. You're not going to, as I understand it, go abroad. That's a concern, is it?
So I suppose it's a concern depending on our ambition. I think we can do lots to add value very close to the core. So what I mean by that is, you know, if you look at international examples, they've grown much, their revenue per ad is much higher than us. And that's because the awareness of the opportunity to invest in better ads is much larger. The consumer is more savvy in terms of digital purchases, in terms of Australia and Sweden are some of the big examples, and they're investing in the property platform. So there's lots of growth opportunities. And then in terms of the tooling, you know, for estate agents, we're in the process of replatforming our, what we call agent admin. We can build better tools to help them list properties, to help them manage properties. I think offers is the most recent, automated valuations has been recent, but next maybe booking viewings. So we kind of paused on that a little bit because the viewing scenario changed with COVID. So it moved from open viewing situation to booked 10-minute slots. And at the moment, we're just trying to see where it lands and what users actually want and how it's going to work with estate agents. Because estate agents definitely gained efficiency by restricting who could view, because lots of people come and look at properties and don't give any value and aren't actually going to purchase or make an offer. So I think we can do something in the space of viewing booking, because that's where we're closest. You know, you find a property in Daft, you send the inquiry, and then maybe Daft has gone out of the picture and it's between the estate agent and Daft. But maybe, you know, in the offer space and in the viewing space, I think we can add a lot more value.
Handful of short answers, please. What's the future for Daft? What's the next big change that we'll see on Daft?
I don't have a crystal ball. We're always
debating
next. But you're
working on something
next.
Always.
So we're working on something always. So I think what we're really working on at the moment is the polishing of offers, we'll call it. So, and getting that into a position that is utilised by the majority of people. That's job number one. In close to that, we're looking to get better at presenting, help the market to get better at presenting the opportunities to vendors to invest in Daft. So we're going to push Advantage Ads. We're going to allow, we want every vendor to make a conscious choice about their Daft marketing is how we frame it. And then thirdly is we're going to look at products like booking viewings.
Almost the final question. And a lot of people ask me how to solve the housing problem. How would you solve the housing problem? Have you got any really big, big, clever idea?
So the first thing that resonates me when I think about this question is that it's really, really difficult for people. So I feel really bad for anybody who wants to move. You know, you're a student who happens to be lucky enough to get a college place in Dublin. You know, that's really difficult to find somewhere to live. You know, you're a young family. It's really difficult. It's a diverse problem for society. And within that, you know, there's a funny example recently. I was down in Ballydehob in West Cork over Christmas, and I met a pub owner there. Joe's his name. He owns Leavis's Bar in Ballydehob, one of the best bars in West Cork, if anybody's looking.
That's your pints guaranteed now for the next visit, yeah?
Yeah. And Joe was saying about Ballydehob, you know, really successful, a couple of really good restaurants, village in West Cork doing really well from a tourism perspective, and a total lack of accommodation. And originally his frustration associated with this was holiday accommodation, but now he's saying the essence of the village, which is created by an artistic community, so lots of artists live there, they're not necessarily earning high salaries. It's not easy to be an artist and spend your time in a creative space. And he said they can no longer afford to live in Ballydehob. And he's an example of someone who moved to rural Kerry. You know, I'm from Cork. That's never a good thing for anybody. So
my dad's from Kerry, and I disagree.
Yeah. We'll have to leave that one for. That may take too long to resolve. So. The problem is multiple. Everybody's impacted, and now society is shifting and changing as a result. And we need not 35,000 houses, not 30,000 houses a month, you know, or a year. We need 50,000 to make up, just in population alone, you need 35,000. So we need at least 50 at the moment, and the solution has to be multifaceted.
Okay, so I was going to say, we know the problem.
Yeah.
What is, in a few words, what is the solution?
So social, it's multifaceted. Social, build to rent, the big developers with build to rent accommodation, more supply lifts all boats. Supply, 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 all aspects of supply. So more social, more build to rent, more three bed semis. And what we need to do is give financing options to people. So some good government initiatives to help to buy scheme, etc. But one of the groups I feel sorry for is the small families are the ones that are getting impacted by an increase in registration or interest rates. So the affordability challenge for that group, I think renters need more credit for demonstrating repayment capacity based on managing to pay rent. There's people who've rented for 10 years and paid 1,500 or 1,800 a month in Dublin, haven't been able to save a deposit, but they've demonstrated a consistent repayment capacity, and I think more can be done to help that group. But that doesn't take from social housing, you know, high-end housing, all aspects need to be lifted in terms of supply.
Final question, and I hope you read your email. Who would Adam Ferguson hire in a heartbeat?
Can I say two people?
You can. At least you read the email. You can say as many as you like for that.
So the first is Henry Ford.
Okay. From and Cork again.
Two things come to mind. If I'd asked them what they wanted, they would have said a faster horse. And the second one is, you can have any colour you like as long as it's black. So there's two interesting things to that. One is the creativity of actually coming up with a solution that's way outside of what was happening in the market. So I believe in understanding what customers want, but the real innovators make the leap from that to actually creating an innovative solution. And then the second one, why he's, you know, such a genius is that he's then linking the product to the production capability of the factory. So if he had to go black, red, pink, yellow, it adds a complexity to creating the product. And he was, you know, the first really successful factories. And part of that has to be they're all the same. We can't make, you know, one a little bit bigger, one a little bit smaller. These aren't custom products. They're coming out through through a line. And I think that's the real genius. And then the second one is an internal praise to the organization and to the founders of Distilled. It's not a coincidence that Brian and Eamon founded two of Ireland's most successful indigenous websites, The Journal and Daft. Recently, we've lost our CTO, Brian, back to The Journal. And I think in terms of people I've worked with before, I'd love to rehire Brian. His knowledge of our industry, his ability to create product, commercial, technical. He's held every role in Daft and mastered all. So I'd rehire Brian as well.
Listen, that's your only rehiring the boss. Get away with that. That is the sickest answer ever. And that wasn't on the script anyway. Oh, no. Adam Ferguson, Chief Commercial Officer. You'll probably get an upgrading from that now after that one of Distilled Media. Thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Mercedes-Benz, Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundeal. Are you looking for a 7-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
Want to increase sales, reduce overheads, and provide customers with a better service? Then use Big Red Web, the easiest way to develop and maintain your website. It gives you powerful business reporting, digital marketing, and automatically integrates with the award-winning Big Red Cloud Accounting software. It's a game changer for SME businesses. It's so good, the government gives you a €2,500 grant towards it. Big Red Web, e-commerce made simple. BigRedCloud.com/web.
all that great business show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
Here's something really, really different. My next guest wants you to have a higher pension for half the cost. And no, he is not trying to sell you something. He's a long-time retired actuary who was, just a few years ago, president of the Society of Actuaries. But he hasn't been idle in retirement. He's been busy with his abacus, and he's recently won a big prize for his big pension idea. Colm Fagan, welcome to That Great Business Show.
Thank you, Conal, for that kind introduction.
It's kind but uncomplicated, because whatever else, people loathe talking about pensions. Yeah. You are here because I want them to hear your words of wisdom. I've known you for, as they say, quite a while. You are very, very well regarded. What you say, you know what you're talking about, is what you say is also important. And as I say, you were president of the Actuarial Society of Ireland, or whatever it's called nowadays. Yeah. And you didn't get that by chance. You know what you're talking about. I say it twice, three times. But you have, there is a thing called auto-enrollment about to happen.
Yeah, and maybe it's important, first of all, to tell the listeners, this is not just for any pension. This is purely for this auto-enrollment idea. So let's maybe talk very briefly about auto-enrollment. It's the government's plan to deal with the problem that we have in this country, that only one in three private sector workers has a pension at the moment. And so the other two out of three are completely dependent on the state for their pension in retirement, and that is wrong. And they've tried various things over the years, so now they're trying a different thing, that no one's going to be forced into getting a pension, but you will be automatically enrolled in one. So therefore, you know, if you have just a small company, and I give the example of the local tyre repair shop in Bray, where I live, that the workers there will be automatically enrolled in a pension where they pay a contribution, their employer pays a contribution, and the government pays one third of what they have. Now, it eventually is supposed to build up what the government is saying, that they pay 6%, the employer pays 6%, and the government pays 2% of earnings up to 80,000 a year. And they're saying that that amount is what is required for what they call an adequate pension, taking account of your state pension entitlement. Now, what I'm saying is that now, I think, we had a little conversation before we started, that you probably oversold me a bit there, O'Connor. I'm underselling myself, but I'm saying that the same or higher pension can be afforded not for a 6% contribution, but for 3.9% from the employer, and just 1.3% from the state. And how does it work?
Well, roll it back, Colette, for one second, because central to what you want to say is the state, in its wisdom, is giving this, it's a bonus beyond bonuses to the pension businesses. And what your idea is, it shouldn't happen that way. One provider,
yes. Now, in fairness, the government itself is saying that they will have one provider. They changed it from their original plan. But the big difference, and maybe I can just cut to the chase what the big difference is, that under the government's plan, as currently articulated, they're saying that the government will look after people all the way through as they are contributing until they get to retire. And they'll have a big pot of money then. But what the government is saying, they'll turf people out of this lovely scheme where they're being looked after. And when they get to 66, 67, whatever the age, they will have to look after themselves. And that, I'm saying, that is all wrong.
Right. So we'll get back to that point later. So I interrupted you. You were just about to give a magnificent exposition of why your scheme. Now, you've done an awful lot of work. This isn't just something that you're lying in bed thinking about. You've done, and the prize, you won a prize in London a couple of months ago?
I did indeed, yes.
For
in October,
so
thank
this
you,
is not just something that fell out of bed.
No, it came to some extent from my own pension. And the way I have managed my own pension for years and years is that I take, like any long-term savings account, I put money aside while I was working, and then when I get to retirement, I inverted commas, retired about 11 years ago. I started drawing from it. And now, but in my case, I was invested very heavily into the stock market, into equities. And as you know, as well as I do, Conal, the stock market fluctuates all over the place. And it can be quite frightening for someone who doesn't have experience of that world. You know, you could lose, I mean, for instance, in March 2020, when the financial world realized the impact of COVID, markets fell by 20% in less than a month. Now, that would be terrifying for an ordinary person. But what I've devised, and this is what I won the prize for, is that one can smooth things out. And, you know, it's a little complicated, but we might get into it later. But
so no, won't. No, we'll accept that what you say exists and is true and is accurate.
Yes, but what can it possible is that in the long term, that you can smooth out all of the ups and downs of the stock market. It's like a very wavy sea, and you have a line or a graph and a line just going through it very nice and smoothly. In the long term, it'll track what is happening, but I'm talking about in the long term, in 10, 5, 10, 15 years, because that is the sort of times we're talking about. So what I'm saying is that this pension, as I have envisaged it, that the money will go into the accounts as you're working, and it accumulates with interest. And I say the interest rate that you would get is on average about 4% more than you would get in a bank or a building society or in the credit union account. 4% a year. And over years, that compounding is massive. So you just keep accumulating the money in that account while you're working. Then you come to retirement and you start withdrawing from that account. It's as simple as that. So you accumulate and you're getting 4% a year more than you would get in a deposit institution, and then you start drawing from it.
This idea is so clever that you tried to, am I right in saying, patent it?
Well, I started to patent one particular part of it, because there's another element to that, because as soon as you start drawing down, it takes, say, someone of my age now, I'm into my 70s at this stage, you're supposed to say, Conal, you don't look at nature.
You didn't give me a chance. Anyway. Conal, you don't look a day over 50. Yeah.
But you say, oh gosh, do I have enough here now to last me for the rest of my days? You know, so you can do either of two things. You can sort of skimp and scrape and you leave too much for the next generation, or you can splurge it all and you die a pauper, right? And I've got what I think is a neat solution to that particular aspect of it, but maybe that might be deferred under a later point. But I'm saying that you just draw down, and I'm saying that you can choose yourself how much to draw down once you start. Once you stop working, I'm saying you can draw down between 3% and 8% of your pension amount every year. Obviously, if you draw down 8%, you're leaving less for yourself for the future, or for your estate and for your family afterwards. But, you know, it's a balance that you constantly make. And I realize myself now, since I'm retired, that this idea of an annuity, that you have the same amount for the rest of your days, that is madness. Your needs vary. So you can...
Now, let me hold you there, because we're now kind of getting into the weeds, as they say, of pensions. An annuity. Explain what it is and explain why people are given annuities.
Okay, what an annuity is, it's an option for people, or well, not an option, but if they buy an annuity, they get an income for life for a lump sum. So let's say...
What happens is John Smith, Mary Smith has accumulated, say 80,000 quid, and they will then, when they comes to pension time, they go out and they buy an annuity. Yeah.
And this is what the government is proposing now, and this is how their calculation of the 14% contribution is based. That you accumulate your money in this a pension fund that has been set aside for you, and then you come to retirement and they say bye birdie, and they give you your money, and let's say I'm not that good at the old sums, Conal, so 100,000 rather than the 80,000, so you have 100,000 that you have there when you retire. And this is what the government is now saying, oh well, you know, maybe you could buy an annuity for your life with that. And with that annuity you can expect to get maybe 3% annuity life. So in other words, you give up your 100,000 and you'll get a pension of 3,000 a year for the rest of your days.
And that is, those are real figures, real numbers.
No, well, real in the sense of actual. I mean, they haven't calculated it.
But what I'm saying is, like, people really need to understand
That's not inflation-proof.
How little is involved.
Exactly. When you said real, I thought you meant maybe real in inflation terms. No, it's actual. It's just 3,000 a year for 100,000 euros. That if you say at 65, now I haven't got the numbers and I haven't checked them, because what I'm saying is, with the approach I'm doing, you would do far, far better. And why would you do far better? Because with an annuity, the money is invested in so-called secure bonds, government bonds. And government bonds are paying very little interest. I mean, last year, German bonds were negative interest rates. Now, they might be about 1%, 2% positive now. While if you are invested in the stock market, you can expect in the long term to get at least 4%, we can quibble over what, but in general, around 4% a year on average more. Now, you may have the occasional mark 2020 when you dropped 18% or two, but that is part of the price. It all goes, if you don't speculate, you won't accumulate, and the risk and reward go hand in hand. So what I have done is you can keep the reward whilst diversifying the risk.
But you know the thinking and the thinkers behind this kind of a scheme in government are hugely conservative, and they are not going to have on their gravestones, "I went with Colm Fagan's great idea," because at least with an annuity, albeit 3,000 quid or whatever, you know that the government is going to pay it. As long as the government stands, of course.
Well, this wouldn't be the government, actually.
No, what you know what I mean is that the system, it's as guilt as can be.
It'd be an insurance company that would be buying. This is the point as well, that they're letting people loose, and there's all sorts of intermediaries involved and commissions and charges and things like that to advise people, do you take an annuity? Do you have a joint life or a single life annuity? And we could talk about all that. Do you have a guarantee?
You've got a great life. You're talking about that kind of stuff as well, are you?
But I'm saying that people can get utterly confused, and I'm trying to simplify it, that you have an account that you build up when you're working and you take from it when you're retired, and you decide how much to take every year. But it gives so much better because the money is being invested constantly, earning around 4% a year more than you would get from that annuity.
Which is a chunk of money.
It's a massive amount of money.
And particularly because it grows each year on top of each other.
The whole compound. That's what I said. That's partly why, and in fact, I am conservative on what I say, that I said that the 6% contribution can actually be 3.9%, but that is allowing for the fact that you take some cash when you get to 65, when you get to retirement. I'm saying 25% in cash. It's a bit like the way the civil service have their gratuity and their pension, and this is a similar sort of thing. Now, if you were to take it all in pension, it would be even bigger advantage. So that's how it changed little from the figure that you introduced.
So the real reason that I wanted you here was to start pointing fingers, naming names, and doing blamies. Why are they not taking the column? What are you calling this scheme anyways?
Smoothed equity approach.
Smoothed
equity. Yeah. Now, one of my friends, actually, who's you might know him, Sean Keyes, he's with the Currency magazine. He called it the Mehl. Now, because I used the concept of the Mehl, and those of us like myself who came from the west of Ireland would know that the Mehl was a concept that we had when at harvest time down in Mayo, that all the farmers would work together to save the oats it would be in that, or barley in that situation. They would follow the thrashing machine around, and all the people in the local townland would work together on it. And this was, I said, the idea of the Mehl is working together, but that maybe gives a slightly wrong impression, because I said even on purely selfish grounds, people should be doing the particular thing I'm saying.
So who's stopping it? Or put it another way, why is it not being adopted?
Yeah, I you give a hint of it yourself earlier, Conal. It's new. It hasn't been done anywhere in the world before.
Which is pretty cool.
I spent many years thinking about it. And so, and I have a friend. Well, we talk about the friend, I think, at the very end of the podcast, this question that you have at the end. They say that it hasn't been done anywhere in the world, and no commercial organization has brought it in. Well, I said, dough, as old Homer Simpson used to say. it hasn't been done anywhere in the world because it's new, right? And the point about the commercial organisation, and this is part, I think, of my problem, which maybe points to another issue, that it is completely uncommercial. This would never work in a commercial environment. It works purely for auto-enrolled pensions at a national level.
Who would manage it? Who would oversee the investments?
Well, I'm saying this is another issue where there's all sorts of hangers-on and so-called advisors in the industry, that you have, that these asset allocators would be employed. You probably did this in your former life, Conor, who are earning a fortune, say, oh, you put your money so much into bond, you put so much into alternative investments.
Give me a block wall now and I'll start beating my head off in a few months.
Everything 100% goes into what I call equities. But what I'd say, they are assets where you expect to get long-term growth in the value and expect to get this 4% a year more. So that's one problem got rid of. Now, I mean, I don't have any strong views on who, as you know yourself, I mean, you can choose a passive or active fund. Now, maybe we can define for a second what a passive fund is. It means, say, you just push it into the stock market and you don't have anyone paid to choose, is this a good investment or is that a bad investment? Because the market is the market and the market chooses the right thing. So I would be in favour of so-called passive investment. Just push it into a world stock market fund. That would minimise the costs and you get the same return. And Warren Buffett has...
Warren Buffett hasn't got too poor on the back of something very similar over decades and decades.
And I'm saying, I have one remaining job at the moment. I'm a non-executive director of one life insurance that, I should emphasise, does not do any business in Ireland. So therefore, there's no conflict of interest involved in this. But my ultimate boss is Warren Buffett.
And does he know about your brilliant idea?
He doesn't know.
Would you not write to him and say, because people like Warren Buffett do want to leave a legacy.
Yeah, I haven't thought of that. No, yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, I don't
know. We'll tag him on LinkedIn and we'll tell him about you. Because, because we're going to run out of time now, is what do you want done? Like, you've written in the Irish Times, that's where I saw it.
Yeah.
You've got some responses in the Irish Times letter pages, which weren't all positive. Yeah. What do you want done?
What I want is, I mean, I don't expect government to just accept my word for this. I mean, I recognise that there could be flaws in it. Find that difficult to imagine, but I do recognise. So all
you
I want
got your
is
the, gold medal or whatever you got.
The government, I want the government to commission, say, the ESRI, to really kick the tires on this and look at it. And so, and that's all I'm asking. And what
I'm going to ask you a hard question.
Yeah.
Is the ESRI good enough or wise enough to do the tire kicking on this?
I think, what I've also said, though, is that I and my colleague Brian Woods, who's worked with me very heavily on this, that we would give them all of our spreadsheets. We have done so much stochastic simulations. Now, I'll let you sort of tell the world what stochastic simulations are.
And I learned two words, buy and sell. That was it.
And so we would make all of our analysis, our computer programs, our spreadsheets, everything available to them and work with them to get this evaluated. And so, and I think they do have, because actually one important aspect of it is behavioural psychology. And, they have someone, Peace Lund, there, who is a terrific behavioural psychologist, and they have experts in investment and in finance and that. So
the answer is yes.
The answer is yes, they do have.
Okay. So you know enough people in the industry, in the pensions industry, to know and to have gotten feedback. Do they hate you?
I mean,
that was almost a yes.
I am finding it difficult to get through to people now. And partly it has been the last 2 years, as you know, we've had our 3 years, the whole COVID thing, and that does make things difficult. I did present a paper to my colleagues in the Society of Actuaries in Ireland in January 2020, but just almost around this date. And I got a mixed reaction. Put it this way, all my retired colleagues were very much in favour of it. All the more active people weren't that much in favour of it. Now, you can surmise as to why the active, the retired people would be in favour of it.
Because some of the active ones might be working for the pension funds. Would that be true?
Maybe.
He's gone shtum on me. That's weird. Colm, the final question, as always, we ask all our guests on That Great Business Show, who would Colm Fagan hire in a heartbeat?
Well, who I would hire in a heartbeat is the man who has worked with me on this for the last number of years. Now, he doesn't believe in everything. A guy called Brian Woods, he's another retired
What do you mean he doesn't believe in everything?
He doesn't necessarily believe in it. I mean, he has some. There are some behavioural aspects of this which we both might have views on as to what would happen in certain circumstances.
Are you looking for the man in the Clapham omnibus to how he or she might
change? Someone like Pete Lunn, who is a behavioural psychologist, would be very important for this as well. But yeah, so the person I would hire in an instance is Brian. I mean, he has the rigor as well that I don't have. I mean, I would be a big picture person, like, and I went into the actuarial profession straight from school, and you know, I thought I was going to be a mathematician, and to be honest, this was just hard sums I learned. But Brian is a true mathematician. He was sort of in Queens, and then he went to Imperial College in London for a while, and you know, he does sort of complex analysis for his spare time on a Saturday afternoon, and so yeah, but he had that rigor.
There's another world out there,
there
isn't
is, there?
There
you know, is. There
we're
is.
All thinking about, well, what we'll cook with the chicken, and he's off there with his massive big charts and his sums, as you say. That is very interesting. So, one final question is, we're going to launch your theory, or what would, it's more than a theory, it's your
approach, I call
your approach here today, and I want to make sure that we will be pushing it non-stop until we break the pension system and we get it enforced by government. So you're now allowed to cut the tape on it and launch the Colm, well, we won't call it the Colm Fagan, but what's wrong with the
Woods of Equity?
Okay, well, we will also call it the Fagan Woods, because you always put the it in okay, alphabetical order. The Fagan Woods solution.
Okay, thank you.
Does that work?
Yeah, that's lovely. Thank you. Right.
Colm Fagan, actuary, thank you so much for joining me on That Great Business Show.
Thank you, Colm.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Mercedes-Benz, Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundeal. Are you looking for a 7-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
De facto shaving oil, made only from natural oils. Nothing nasty on your skin.
And that's it from That Great Business Show, episode 122, where we deliver 45 minutes of business insights and inspiration thanks to our sponsor, Dundeal.ie, the only place to find your next car, new or secondhand. Now, you have been hearing that there could be 700,000 people out there without pensions. So do make sure to tell them how you learned how to have a higher pension for half the cost. Send them an email link to this podcast. Also, you can repost us on LinkedIn, where we now post our new Business Bites. Those are the business opportunities that we send to you during the week. LinkedIn is also where to find us if you would like to advertise with us. We recorded the Dublin South Podcast Studios, where Lee, live fast, because it won't last. Brennan is today's sound engineer. Later, Neil Horner presses all the right buttons in post-production. This is the same team that brings you our second podcast series, Ireland's legal podcast, The Fifth Court. If you want your own podcast, well, we can make the magic happen for you. Give us a bell. And don't forget to buy Business Plus magazine, where we now have a regular column all about the podcast. From me, Conal O'Moran, Míle Buíochas for listening, agus slán tamall.